Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Good morning to you. We're looking at the most beautiful golf course here on the Windward side. We're in Lanikai. We're at the Mid-Pacific Country Club. It's so green. I know you know why. It's been raining. It's been raining for months on the Windward side of Oahu, and it certainly came down in a deluge for at least 2 days, one day in particular, and they've recovered. The course is gorgeous. Jason Amoy did an amazing job. I'm looking out over the Ko'olau Range. Our forecast officially is partly sunny, windy, scattered showers, Windward and Mauka. We can see the mountains are getting a little rain at the top, but we can see the lower peaks, for instance. The Olomana peaks are visible. Don't go up there. It's probably extremely muddy. The winds are easterly, 15 to 30, and we'll have cloudy nights and windy. And it keeps saying that, mostly cloudy and windy, and it goes on for days. So this is going to be what we're going to have for this 60th playing of the Mid-Pacific Open here at the Mid-Pacific Country Club. 200 of the state's top amateurs and professionals teed it up. They're in round two. Make that three. Round one was Thursday. Round two yesterday. Three and four concludes. This is the last remaining four-day open tournament held in the islands, and this is the 60th year it's been held. Now, we're going to come back and talk to two key men. Mike Kawaharada, he is the Mid-Pac Open chairman, and we're going to talk to the GM here at Mid-Pacific Country Club, the people who put it all together and make this all happen, and the members of the Mid-Pacific Country Club who allow it to be kind of taken over by all these professionals and not-so-professional players, but who are very serious about the game, and every round, every shot counts. We'll be back after this. We're going to thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you in part by Creative Plumbing. Call Creative Plumbing because it has to be done right. Futura Stone, for your business or residence. Pavers for your driveways and parking lots, concrete-colored floors, and decorative stone floors. And Claude Brousseau, master PGA teaching professional at Maui School of Golf. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
I said it's 60 years old, but Mid-Pacific Open started by combining the Lanikai Cup, that was for the amateurs, and the Compos Trophy for the local golf professionals into one event. And that's what started at the Mid-Pacific Country Club. Back in 1956, Guinea Kopp was crowned as the tournament champion. David Ishii broke the tournament record, and I think after winning two more times, he holds the record by three strokes. Hall of Famer Lance Suzuki, unfortunately, he passed in the last year. He won this tournament eight times. I don't think anybody is going to break that record. And today, we have at the top of the leaderboard a young man, Brent Grant, who is the 108th Manoa Cup champion. Brent Grant, a BYU Hawaii player, U.S. amateur qualifier, shot a 63 at the Honolulu Country Club. You may not have heard his name a lot, but he's been here in Hawaii playing golf. And let's bring into the clubhouse. I'm actually taking over the clubhouse here, the general manager's clubhouse. Jim Sweeter, the GM, thank you so much for being here. And we're going to bring up right now Mike Kawaharada. He is our chairman, the chairman of the board, the chairman of the Mid-Pac Open. Welcome.
Thank you, Danielle. Good morning.
Good morning. And you're not playing.
No, I'm not.
This is the second year. Have you decided that competition is, I mean, it's 4 days.
That's right, and my game is so bad that I decided I better not play.
It takes time to keep it up, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
And I'm getting older.
Yeah.
69 this year.
You know, you don't look 69.
Well, don't think I am,
exactly.
But I am.
Yeah, okay. I know the feeling. Okay. So let's start with our general manager, Jim Sweeter. You've been here 18 months, a year and a half already?
Yes, this is my second Mid-Pac Open.
And this is, isn't it wonderful how the members come together in the club and all the people who work with you for them to make this such a wonderful event?
It really is. I just try to stay out of the way of everybody's know, what they're doing. And it sometimes feel guilty because the job that Mike does to really spearhead the event and get the support and get the sponsors, and that's a key part of it, you know, to get the players to come and have a nice purse to win. The staff, the volunteers, it's truly a family atmosphere, and it's fun to stand back and just witness that and see how everything runs so smoothly. You'd think on the surface that it just runs by itself, but then behind the scenes there's some chaos and things always going on. But I think that's the key to a great event is the participants and the fans just see it run so smoothly because of the job that I think Mike and all the volunteers and Vincent and Jason and his crew and just everybody in general. So it's very proud to be a part of it.
Oh, yes. We've got the director of golf running around down at the driving range, making sure that's all taken care of. And then sometimes he's called upon to go and become a rules official. So everybody plays different roles at different times. Everybody kind of crosses over and helps out where it's necessary to help. This country club, this Mid-Pacific Country Club, has really gone through a renovation, kind of like a resurrection, sort of like a coming back up to the fore with the help of the Arnold Palmer Management Company that came in for a year, did some work. I know we have some very esteemed individuals have joined this country club over the last few months. He comes in and out of town unbeknownst to anyone anymore. They don't close down highways, and he doesn't close down the course. He just is very kind of in the background, but enjoys being here at the Mid-Pacific Country Club. And what you've done in the restaurant and just as the social members and having all these different events, this is a really exciting time for Mid-Pacific Country Club.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, with President Obama, politics aside.
Oh, him, yes.
Yes. You know, for him to choose this club is a very, I mean, the membership is so proud and excited about that because he could have joined probably any club on the island, and he chose Mid-Pacific Country Club. So he loves the course, and he was here recently and starting to come up to the clubhouse a little bit more and had something to eat and had an iced tea. So it's a neat reflection, I think, on the members themselves and what they've created as a club for him to choose this club to be a member as well. But yeah, you know, I think the club was repositioned, you know, a year and a half ago, and I think the membership rallied behind the repositioning of the club, and it's a very, very vibrant membership right now. And
yeah,
I think
it's,
clubs in general go through kind of transitions with respect to the demographics from the longstanding mature members to now back to probably younger families, how it probably was, you know, 30 years ago. So it's a very fun, active, and it's neat to see the longstanding mature members embrace the young families and the young members, especially from a junior golf standpoint, to really encourage the game by seeing the younger players come out and enjoy the game.
Yeah, you know, if you're not a golfer and you would like to be a part of a country club and just enjoy getting away from, say, and have kids, and maybe I know there are junior golf lessons here that Mark Souza does. There's social. So
yes.
You don't have to. There's a social membership, and there's all different levels of membership, and so you can really come and have a really good time here, and also be a golfer and have a great time. Which of course, the 200 amateurs and professionals who've come together to play. And next month I'll be back here for the Jenny K. All the women, they're helping, and all the members that come together to make these events happen. My girlfriend, she owns Avancé, a salon in town. She's spending 3 days here running around in a golf cart, and she said she's going to pack all her, you know, different sets of clothing because last year she got drenched. But I said, and so you're going to do it for 3 days? She goes, I had so much fun, you know, and so that's a volunteer. Running around, just making sure things are happening in the right way. So I'd like to change over now to Mike and talk with you, sir, about all the people who, as you said, we need, Jim, to have a great purse, to bring the professionals, to bring Parker McLaughlin. He's at the top of the leaderboard, as well as Sam Sir, who plays on the Asia Tour. So we've got all of these guys, including, I'm sorry, I can't read right now, is that Justin Kiley that's up there at the top as well. You know, we just have a bunch of guys. Nick Mason is in. We were tied, wasn't it? Nick Mason and Parker McLaughlin after day number one. How is the course playing?
Well, let me put it this way. After Saturday, when I came out for my Saturday round, all the bunkers were filled with water. They were all washed out.
You had no, that means there's no sand in the bunkers.
Oh, no, it washed all to the bottom and it filled with water.
Yeah.
Trees were down, limbs were all over the place. It was a mess. Number one hole, you walk along the fairway, it was just squishy mud all the way. Today, we needed some sunshine and needed to not have rain, and we got that. Today, the course is playing beautifully.
It looks gorgeous.
It is. Jason and his crew did a great job. Vince Jim came out with his crew and helped Jason clean up on Monday.
Wow.
Jim Sweeter and his son also came out and were picking up rubbish on Monday.
It's a team effort.
It is. It's a team effort.
Yeah.
And you can see the results of it today. And I can tell you that every one of the players has complimented us on a golf course and how it's playing. And it's going to be championship conditions, or is championship conditions. And we'll get really hard on Sunday.
It'll get really hard on Sunday.
Yes.
Yeah, Rick, our executive producer, is laughing in the background. Jason Awoy has a reputation of making it really hard just about every day. But he does save the worst for last.
Oh, yes, he does. We have some tricky holes today. He's brought some tees up to tempt players to see if they can reach the green on a par four, which we've never done before, but Jason decided to do it today. It would be interesting.
Well, he's a PGA Tour quality superintendent.
Yes, when he came to Mid-Pacific Country Club, he was at the Wildlife Country Club before that and had experience.
Sony Open.
Yes.
That's right.
And I can tell you that when he got here, I was then Courses & Grounds chairman, and I told Jason, the Open is your showcase, and we will do everything that possible to support you on that. prior tournament chairman would get involved with setting the course up, and Bob Tokugawa, who was a great course superintendent,
yes,
if you call, prior chairman would go out and tell him where to put the pins. And I told Jason, I would never do that. I'm going to leave it up to you. You do the best you can, and that's how we're going to run the Open from now.
That's excellent, because that is people who don't play at a level or don't know their course at the level that he knows, they're the people who should be setting the pins.
Yes.
And making it the absolute challenge that it can be.
Yes.
And this is the Mid-Pacific Country Club, and it's the Mid-Pac Open, and we're talking about the 60th playing of this four-day tournament, the last of the four-day Open tournaments held in the islands. And despite the torrential rains that flooded people on this windward side, it wasn't just Aina Haina and Hawaii Kai that took it really hard, but it was this whole side of the Ko'olau Range on both sides of the range that felt this incredible, not just the rain, but the wind that was blowing that rain sideways and just doing amazing things to this golf course and to the community at large.
Yeah, and one other thing that Jason had to contend with was that we lost the transformer out that supplied electricity to the cart mart. He didn't have electricity to sharpen
charge mowers.
They're all electric mowers, right? And he had to bring in generators, and we didn't get the power back up until Wednesday.
Amazing. But what about the people that make the purse so big? Is there anyone you'd like to thank? I mean, there's a whole list of people.
Yes. The number of platinum sponsors that really help, our club president actually is a double platinum. He brings in four teams.
Wow.
Servco Pacific, two teams. A number of them, Curio Management of the hotels, they actually gave out prize that allowed you one night stay at the Royal Hawaiian Hotel for five people.
Wow.
And $120 certificate.
What do I need to do to...
You need to buy a team.
I need to buy a team.
And maybe you have a chance to get that prize. But they've been great. The sponsor's been great. We actually had a waiting list this year. We put out 36 pro-am teams. I didn't want to do that because play tends to get a little slow. But there was one longtime sponsor that got sick and wasn't able to get the application in on time. And
so you held your ground.
No, I got him in, but I did have to refuse two others.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But we just can't put on. Out that many teams, otherwise it play would be too slow.
Yeah, right.
But we've been blessed. We have longtime sponsors that come back every single year. I mean, some of them been with the tournament since I've been involved with it 19 years ago.
That's 19 years ago?
Yes.
Wow. Well, I certainly hope you're not going to retire anytime soon, because it's you do such a fantastic job, and you know, we just really, really appreciate everything you do.
Well,
thank you very much. We're going to take a break. I want you to stay right where you are. I think your co-chairman is going to descend upon us.
Of course.
We had a wonderful champions dinner.
Yes.
It was a wonderful champions dinner. 17 of the champions were there. I'm surprised David Ishii's not playing this year. Is he okay?
David's in Japan.
Oh, David's in Japan.
Yeah.
Okay, I feel better.
Actually, what happens is that the Japanese senior tour starts around the same time as Mintak Open, and that's the reason why he's not here. He's been here almost every year that he's been on island.
I know, and I'm like, where's David? Where's David?
Yeah.
Where's David? So he's in Japan,
yeah.
and we're thinking happy thoughts for David to have a great round of golf. And we want all of these guys to hit the sweet spot every time and get on that green and be in good position, because the scoring, considering the weather conditions, is phenomenal. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and we're at the 60th playing at the Mid-Pac Open after this.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screen.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative! Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurestone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurestone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf is easier with coaching from PGA Master Teaching Professional Claude Rousseau. Claude will simplify your game. Scratch golfer or just beginner, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Claude is at Maui School of Golf at the Kahili Course on Maui. You'll get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claude@mauischoolofgolf.com. That's Claude Rousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
Yeah, yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Okay, we are back. We're at the 60th playing at the Mid-Pacific Open. And, you know, we usually talk about the champions and the professionals and the big champion flights, the B. But you know, in the B flight, they're just as determined to win. And so right now, sitting at the table is co-chair of the Mid-Pacific Open, Vincent Yim, and he's tied for fourth with Rodney Dew, Wendell Kopp. Vincent Yim, how are you doing? Good morning.
I am looking forward today to play with the geriatric group. Wendell Kopp, 83. Rodney Dew, 74. And I'm the young one.
They say the senior tour, when the guys turn 50 and they get to play on the PGA Tour champions. Yeah, they're the young guns and the rookies, right?
I think we feel like Tiger Woods going after the young ones.
Right, exactly. So here you are. It must feel good, though, after working so hard to put it all together, to be playing so well.
Yes.
Yeah?
Actually, I have a good group that really takes care of the registration to the spotters and all that. So it allows me to run away and play golf.
Run away? Yes, I totally understand. You get to, when you're on the course and you're working through what looks like fabulous conditions, what are we seeing? Are we not seeing something from the last rain that we experienced? Has the course really drained as well as it looks like it's drained?
We had over 3 weeks of rain.
Yes.
And the course cannot take any more water.
So got the
Friday. Yeah. We didn't cut a couple of fairways for 3 days. So Friday we cut it, double cut it, and then the big storm hit us Friday night. It pounded all the clippings. And on Sunday I walked into Jason's office and said, Jason, for once, I have doubt that you and your crew can get this course ready by Wednesday.
So it was worse than 06. Wow.
Yeah. Well, every bunker was devastated. Okay, washed out, and they had to rebuild every single bunker.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
It really is what they've done.
Yeah.
And so now you're walking, and it's not squishy, and there's not pond?
No. I believe, right, they're going to open up the course.
Yeah, we're going to open the course.
Yeah,
the course.
And it's firm up. So Mother Nature cooperated the last 3 days.
So
we're blessed.
Yeah, truly. Now, we were talking a bit about the Champions Dinner.
Yes.
You know, when Vincent Yim gets a hold of a microphone at the Champions Dinner, he's like all over. He's like an entertainment. I expect him to be singing Frank Sinatra pretty soon, right?
Everything but singing.
My job is to keep him zipped.
Keep him zipped up.
Yes.
Keep him quiet.
Well,
tell me a little bit.
Okay. It's an interesting history behind the Champions Dinner. When I had time to do it, I used to go to Altamont Golf Course to hit balls every Thursday night. And Casey was there.
Casey Nakama
uh-huh. was there, and he was looking at me. We used to have a media day.
Media day?
Yeah. Tuesday before the...
You'd let them play golf?
Yes. But that never really worked out that well. And so Casey tells me, Mike, the Masters has a Champions Dinner. Why can't we? I said, okay.
This is the Masters in Hawaii.
Yeah, so we decided to have a Champions Dinner. Invite all of old champions that played in the Pacific Open. And today we have maybe 30 of them come out. And so we call it the Casey Nakama's Champions Dinner.
Is that what we call it?
No, it's still the Mid-Pacific Open Champions.
No, it's not Casey.
This is Casey Nakama. He's just joining us now, and he's close to the top of the leaderboard. He's got a tee time, just like Vince Yim has a tee time coming up in a couple of minutes. But, of course, I needed to talk to Casey Nakama for a lot of reasons. I mean, what I thought, when I heard that Olomana Golf Course was closed, I figured, well, it just got slammed by this storm, just like Mid-Pacific Country Club got slammed by the storm, and it's just going to take time for them to put it all back together again. But come to find out, it's closed indefinitely, and we don't know when it's going to reopen, and there's lots of different moving parts in all of this, and I don't know how much you can even talk about that part, Casey.
You know, it was just the timing of everything that happened, because the owners came in and they said, we don't have enough money to pay all the employees, so they kind of had a lockdown that, you know, they cannot work. So that was on Friday that we all found out. And Friday night we had the storm. And then so when I went back to the golf course on Saturday morning, you know, we have the third hole and a 14th hole is going to be unplayable for a few months because there's all the runoff and the mud that covered the third hole and the 14th hole.
Unreal.
So, but we just got word yesterday that they're going to make an attempt to reopen this. So, you know, they got some money. They reorganized in from Korea.
Yeah.
And I just got word that on Monday, the grounds crew is back out on the golf course, and they're going to start doing some things. So hopefully by next weekend, all the kids that we run on the weekends that was just going to be displaced should be back on track by next weekend.
I was worried about the Keisei Nakama Golf Development Center at Olamana because, I mean, you've taught Michelle Wee, you've taught Parker McLaughlin, you've always been at Olamana.
We've had, you know, Tad Fujikawa come to, Michelle Wee came to, Sid Okino came to, Tyler Ota, who's the number one amateur for the past couple of years, you know, a lot of the kids. You know, when we started teaching, and I just wanted to do it for the love of passing on information, and I never dreamt that it would turn into the amount of kids that's getting scholarships in college right now. We must have more than a dozen kids that's playing golf right now in college. Right now, you know,
fantastic.
So yeah, it's turned out to be really satisfying for us, and I was just devastated when we lost Lance because Suzuki was one of those guys that was passing on some great information, and
yeah,
you know, my partnership with him was really valuable because I would confide in Lance in what direction we were going to be moving and how to develop the kids, and you know, his knowledge for golfing was just I couldn't explain, you know, how much stuff that he knew about golf. So
yeah,
that was
8-time winner.
Yeah, you know,
here
it's a funny style. A short story before I go. All the kids, we were telling them that we're off this weekend because of Mid-Pac Open, and so all the instructors were still participating, will still play. And I said, listen to us real good because between Lance and myself, we've won this Mid-Pacific Open 9 times. So one of the kids would say, Mr. Nakama, how much time did you win it? I go, it doesn't matter. It's not the point. The point is between Lance and I, we won it 9 times. I would jump on his back. I would ride that.
It could have been 10.
It could have been 10.
I remember that.
Yeah, it could have been 10.
That's wonderful.
But,
so let's go back. Now, Monday, they're going to get the crews back on the course at Olamana, and you will be teaching.
It should. Well, we got to get all the driving range grass cut, balls picked up, and the crew is going to at least be back. I don't think the golf course is going to be open for play another few days after that.
Yeah.
Because and it's not going to be an 18-hole. Probably a modified 16-hole course. But, a flicker of hope for us,
yes.
And then I can get back into my facility because, we were kind of locked out at this point.
And you didn't know, you don't even know.
Yeah,
there could be
know.
Some water in there for
yeah,
all
no,
you know,
I,
right?
I've been going in, and we're fine.
Oh,
I said,
good,
you know,
okay.
Just fine. Just
good.
Just the two holes that we checked it.
Okay, well, may you hit the sweet spot every time.
Thank
Have
you,
a blast.
Daniel. I'm on the run. Thank
on
you,
the run.
Guys.
Thank you very
I'll
much
you
for being
Mike.
On the show.
I'll see you guys
we'll
again.
Take a break. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We know you aren't looking for a new garage door right now. Even though you haven't changed it in many years, even though the new styles you've seen look clean and strong, even though your current garage door is creaking and groaning, even though your garage door is the first impression that visitors have of your home, you just aren't ready. Or are you? Rainer Hawaii will make it simple to beautify your home. Call Rainer now at 676-3667. That's Rainer at 676-3667.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best. As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily.
They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing!
Your experts on call.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And we are at the Mid-Pacific Country Club. That's where the golf club is gathered today. We've taken over Jim Sweeter's office, and it has got to be, I'm here with Mike Kawahara, who is Mid-Pac Open chairman. Isn't this, I mean, if you came to work every day and you had this view, would you have a hard time sitting down and designing things?
Absolutely.
I was wondering, when I saw all the work you do on structural engineering and earthquake proofing and all that, I mean, all the work that you do, you're an extremely knowledgeable man. Have you ever thought of designing a golf course?
No.
No.
But I've read a bunch of books on golf courses. When I was president back in 95, I decided I'd like to know a little bit more about what it takes to do a golf course.
So, yeah.
And I've played some of the great courses, including St. Andrews and Edinburgh.
Yeah. St. Andrews, I mean, when people say, what course do you... some of the great players I watch on television, and they're asked, which is the most memorable course that you've ever played? And more times than any, it's always St. Andrews. Everybody goes back to that experience.
Yeah, it's I've always wanted to do it because I know that's the home of golf.
Yes.
First golf course. So one year, my wife and I decided we're going to go there. And we took two other couples. But we only had one foursome because two of the wives didn't play. My wife plays. So the three of us and my wife played St. Andrews, the old course, the new course, and Carnoustie.
Wow. God, you did the threesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So we got a package and was able to do that because it was a dream to do that.
Which was your favorite course?
The old course.
The old course.
Yes,
it always comes back to the old course.
And, you know, the interesting thing was that when we arrived in Edinburgh, we arrived the day early. It was raining. The next day, it was raining and windy. And it was our day off to get acclimated.
Yeah.
The next day, no wind, no rain, completely blue skies.
Oh, my goodness.
For 3 days.
Just for you, so you could play three courses.
I don't know. After we got done, we had the same caddies on the old course and new course. The caddies told us, don't ever come back. It will never, ever be the same.
You'll never
see that again.
You'll be disappointed.
Yeah.
You'll be so sad. Our forecast is partly sunny, windy, scattered showers, windward and Mauka. Easterly winds 15 to 30, and it goes on like that. I was going, okay, so when is going to be mostly sunny? And it gets... I'm going into next week, and the winds are either easterly or a little bit souther, and then northeasterly, but it's always hazy, cloudy, windy. So we can just expect that for the foreseeable future, and that's what's happening here. We have sun in Lanikai. Spectators are welcome to come out, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
No charge.
No charge.
Yes.
Yeah. So you can come out. You can take a walk here at the Mid-Pacific Country Club. It's got to be one of the most beautiful strolls you'll ever experience here on the windward side, right off the ocean. I mean, you just come up the hill. It's amazing that the ocean is right there. This is really, and I wanted to talk with Jason Amoy, the golf course superintendent. He's a busy man. He may come in a little bit. But this is a links course.
Yes, it is.
And people don't think about it because it's so green.
Well, the links course has more to do with the layout than it does with
and the sandy conditions.
Yes, yes,
yes. And being right on the ocean, so the sand and it drains and it's beautiful.
Well, I think the definition of a links course is that, like the British courses, and particularly St. Andrews, you go out and back in. you don't zigzag all over the place.
Yes.
And so depending on the wind, whether it's downwind or into the wind, and it can change, sometimes, like at St. Andrews, the finishing holes are into the wind, or sometimes they're downwind.
You just never know.
And it's opposite when you go out from number one,
yeah,
because it just goes out one way and comes back in. And Mid-Pacific is similar to that in that the front nine goes out and comes in. Going out is downwind, coming in is into the wind. Same with the back nine, going out is downwind, and coming back in is into the wind.
So, you know, we don't think about our history. Golf, we think of golf courses. They're making a golf course here, making a golf course there. In 1898, there was a golf course. Mauna Loa Golf Club was an 18-hole course. Now it's a 9-hole course.
Yes.
In 1926, Charles Frazier was the first president of the Mid-Pacific Country Club. And with 64 other prominent Honolulu businessmen, he organized the club, and the golf course was one of the amenities that was promised. This, we're going to have a golf course here, right here. So that was in the brochure, in the Lanikai Development brochure. So MPCC Charter of Incorporation is signed on May 5, and architect Seth Rayner is one of the accomplished golf course architects in the world.
Yes, he is.
People love him.
Yes.
There's the Seth Rayner organization that is a historic society. He drew up the plans for the golf course, unfortunately, and as a renowned golf course architect, he came here in 1925. And in 1927, the Honolulu Advertiser quoted him to say this. When he was asked about what he thought of this site for a golf course, there is no doubt in my mind but that a golf course of championship length can be laid out there that will easily rank among the best 5 or 6 in the United States. And I thought to myself, that's perfect.
Yes.
Yeah. And so the first nine was built, and the second nine, of course, Seth Rayner, I think he died of tuberculosis before the actual construction, right?
Nine, that's right.
Yeah.
So the course was laid out by, say, Seth Rayner, and it was laid out as a links course.
As a links course, yes, exactly. And then they came in and did the second nine holes. Willard Wilkinson, I think is his name, he was contracted after World War II. Alex Beckley persuaded the club to construct the back nine. But women... Now, this is for next month, for the Jenny K. Women were allowed to become members in 1946, so very, very advanced thinking here at Mid-Pacific Country Club. And the women's division was established in 1947. And, of course, the women's division has put on the Jenny K since 1950.
That's right. The women's division, just so you know, was a very, very important part of the club. In fact, the volunteers for the Mid-Pac Open, also, majority of them come from the women's division, and they support the Mid-Pac Open. And that's one of the reasons why what we do and the sponsorships and everything else, whatever we raise, like, for example, we pay for the volunteer shirt, and we use that also for the Jenny K. Whatever we don't use in terms of the water and et cetera,
yes,
the juice and whatever we got as from sponsors, we give back to Jenny K.
So it's like a shared resource.
Yes.
Everything that comes in,
yeah,
gets shared equally.
Yeah. Well, not equally, but but it does get shared.
Because the girls are helping you on this side.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And what happens is that after the Jenny K in July, we have a Volunteers Appreciation Dinner for both the Mid-Pac Open and the Jenny K.
Wow.
And Mid-Pac Open has that in their budget to completely pay for that.
That's great. Do you have people who could volunteer to work, even if they're not members of the club?
Yes, we take volunteers from outside also. All you have to do is call the pro shop or the office here,
yeah,
and we'll get them on board. Yeah.
That's great. I know that Mark Souza, he'll be on in a little while. He's down at the driving range getting everybody ready. Like, for instance, Brent Grant. He is 9 under after a 67 and a 68.
Yes.
right? I mean, Brent Grant is the man. Sam Sir is 6-under, 67-71 yesterday. Yesterday was a tough day.
Yes, it was.
Why?
The course firmed up a bit, and it was a little faster. The pins were a little tougher. It's normal for Jason to do that.
Right, and the wind was blowing. So
the wind was blowing.
And the wind was blowing. It's going to be blowing, and that's I'm talking with Mike Kawaharada. He's a Mid-Pac Open chairman. The thing about the course and being a Lynx course, the wind is right there. It comes, and the ground is sandy, and so it just drains all that water, and then the wind blows across and just dries out the grass, and it firms up the greens and people walking on it, and then what do they do at night? Do they like compress it?
No. What happens? Well, yesterday, it was the first time Jason was able to really get in and cut a lot of the fairways that he couldn't get into because it was too muddy. But he cut the greens last night, and what happens in the morning, he double cut the green this morning.
Okay.
And he rolled it.
Okay. See, I knew there was that.
Yes.
There was a cutting last night, the cutting this morning, and then the rolling of the greens to make them nice and firm. So, guys, he's ready for you, because then we've got Justin Kiley, Parker McLaughlin. It's great to see him. David Fink, because Parker just won 2 years ago.
Yes, Parker won. Sam Sir won. Actually, Brent Grant won the amateur championship 1 year.
He won as an amateur.
Yes,
and I think he's trying to get onto the tour.
Yes, he is.
So he's going for the tour. Brent Grant, if you know, you're thinking, Brent Grant, I've heard the name, but I can't remember. Brent Grant is the 108th Manoa Cup champion. Went to BYU, qualified for the U.S. amateur, shot a 63 solo, playing to be in a team play for the USGA four-ball event, because the gentleman that usually plays with him is a retired Army surgeon, and he had to go do something that day. I think it's something about surgery. So when Brent Grant got to Honolulu Country Club and said, I'm here with my person who's going to fill in for me, the person at the country club said, I'm sorry, it's too late for you to get a fill-in.
Yes.
You'll have to play by yourself.
Yes.
So this guy, this kid, this young man, he's got game.
Yes.
And David Fink, he's another one.
Yes.
I'd love to see, I mean, no favorites. I'd love to see David Fink win, because he's been at the top so many times.
Yes.
Damian Tellis, Alex Chiarella, Jacob Krasinski, Kyle Hayashi, Chris Shimomura, and T.J. Asakikua, and that's T.J. Kua.
Yes.
He got married, and it's T.J. Asakikua now. He was so close last year.
Yes.
In the playoff.
Well, it was Damon Tellis.
Damon Tellis.
Jared Sawada.
Yeah.
And
T.J.
Kua.
Yeah.
He played in last group. Damon was ahead, I think, almost by 3 strokes when he started. He started to turn around. Actually, TJ caught him on number 14 and 15, 16, and Sawada then birdied 16 and tied TJ.
And then they went into the playoff.
And then they went into playoff, and Sawada birdied.
Birdied the first hole, right? In playoff hole.
Yes.
And he parred. It was like an amazingly exciting finish to the last year event.
And Damien's an interesting person, because he actually was born in Hawaii. His middle name is Kalani.
Oh, Damien Kalani Teller.
Yes. Interesting. The father is military, I believe, and they moved from Wahiwa when he was stationed here, and that's where he was born, and went up to the mainland.
Huh. And we have another, we have a Lelehua graduate, right? Nick Mason is also in the mix.
Yes.
But here, look at this. Kevin Hayashi.
Yes.
In between TJ Kua and Nick Mason is Kevin Hayashi.
Yeah.
Kevin Hayashi, 71-74. He also, everybody shot higher except for a Joshua Roland de Freitas Jr.
Yeah.
He had a 76 on the first day and a 70 on the second day.
Yeah.
And Alex Ching is he's doing okay. He's kind of even, right? Jared Sawada, James Blair, Alvin Okada, Todd Rego, E.A. Tischler.
Tischler's been gone for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's had medical problems. And Tischler's one of my favorites. He goes back a long, long before I became chairman. And I used to hang out with him. He and Casey and the rest of the guys, Brian Sonata. Yes. Anyways, they're really great guys, and they go way back.
So E.A. Tischler and Todd Rego, isn't Todd Rego and Casey Nakama?
Yes.
You know, you look at this group, you know, it's like you guys are, it's the Tiger guys, right?
Yes.
Fighting up against the younger guys.
Yes.
And they're doing really good. It's a great, great leaderboard. We're going to see Jason looks like he'll be up in about around 8 o'clock. And we're still looking for Brent Grant. Brent may not want to be on the show.
He's a little shy.
Yeah, he probably is hiding. No. But Brent probably wants to stay in the zone. I was Brooke Henderson. Last week we were at the Lotte.
Yes.
And the Lotte was a whole lot of fun and great, great, great round.
Very good.
But Brooke was walking across the parking lot as I was driving in to pick up my media credentials.
Yes.
And my first impression was to go, "Hey, Brooke," but I looked at her expression,
yes,
and she was so focused.
Yes.
You know, and I thought, no, just keep your mouth shut, Danielle. And, you know, let her stay exactly where she is. And that's what's important prior to a tournament. You've got to stay in whatever. Casey Nakama was comfortable, old hat already, right?
Yes.
He's just out playing another round of golf.
Yes, yes.
And it's a whole different feeling.
Yes. It's important for the golfers, especially the ones that want to are in position to win. Today is important. Today they call it moving day. You can go from fifth place to second place.
That's right.
In a flash.
That's
and,
right.
And guys in the lead need to be aware of that, and I think that's what's going on in his head.
Yeah, and he's got a 3-stroke lead, but that can get eaten up in a second, and we saw that last year, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. So we'll take a break quick, and we're going to come back. I'm talking, and it's so nice of you to hang with me, Mike Kawaharada. He's co-chair of the Mid-Pack Open. We had the champions dinner. We all got together. It was so much fun. And I was at the We Love Ping Pong last Saturday night, and it was quite the event where Michelle Wee gets together, and she won the Jenny Kay when she was 11.
Yes.
She gets together with a bunch of her friends and raises money for the HSJGA.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, you see all these composed people, like we talk about Brent Grant and Sam Sir and Justin Kiley and Parker McLaughlin, David Fink, and all the guys on this fabulous leaderboard, keeping their composure, you know, and everybody being ready to go. But when you watch them play ping pong, you see the fierce warrior come out. It's like, there's the competitor,
yes,
that has to stay contained,
yes,
within this demeanor of control.
Yes.
You know, it's a whole different ball game. What's going on in the inside of the golfer you're watching compared to what you're seeing on the outside, for the most part. We're going to come back. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the green with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, "Call Futurestone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurestone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget."
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screen.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing.
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf is easier with coaching from PGA Master Teaching Professional Claude Rousseau. Claude will simplify your game. Scratch golfer or just beginner, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Claude is at Maui School of Golf at the Kahili Course on Maui. You'll get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claude@mauischoolofgolf.com. That's Claude Rousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And we are back at the 60th playing at the Mid-Pacific Country Club. It's the Mid-Pacific Open. It's an absolutely beautiful day. You know, if you've been rained out, if you haven't had any feeling like there's no sun anymore in the world, and I really, there is actually a little bit of sun shining through here in Lanikai. It's a beautiful day. Spectators are welcome to come and walk the course. It's a gorgeous course, tree-lined with spacious open fairways, beautiful greens. You'll just really enjoy it. And you'll see some fabulous golf being played by some of the top golfers in Hawaii, certainly. And this event, like so many that we've had in the past in Hawaii, and we're down to 1 four-day tournament. And this would be
yes. This
would be it right now.
Yes.
Where this is it.
Well, other than the Sony Open, of course.
Right. We have the Sony Open. That's a PGA Tour event.
Yes.
But for our local event.
Yes.
We used to have so many tournaments.
Yes, we did. I believe most of them were three-day tournaments because most golf courses would not want closed for 4 days. And that's a tribute to a membership that allows us or allows the tournament to be played on the course. We actually close the course basically from Wednesday through Sunday.
Exactly.
Although the members can play on Saturday and Sunday after the tournament runs through. We have about 200 competitors. After the cut on Friday, it goes down to 100 competitors. So we just have the morning round that goes out front and back. And that way the course opens up at about 12 o'clock, 12:30, and the members can come out Saturday and Sunday to play.
And play championship conditions.
Yes. The tee boxes are the same. The
right.
Pins are the same.
Right.
And you can go out and find out.
And those greens have been rolled
yes. And
double cut
yes. And
cut the night before.
Yes. And in the afternoon, it tends to get a little faster.
Yes. This is Mike Kawaharada. He is the co-chair of the Mid-Pac Open. Vince Yim is his co, and he's on the course right now, doing really well.
Yes.
We don't want to put too much energy that way so that he can under-the-radar win. Have you ever noticed that, people under-the-radar win, you know, if you don't pay too much attention to them?
Well Vince told me that he's going to play. Last year he didn't play because he had knee surgery. I didn't play because my game's so bad.
Rotten.
And all of the golfers looked at Vince and I and said, you two aren't playing. And then it was a deluge on Thursday and Friday. Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, so they blamed us for deluge.
Oh, did they? It's all your fault.
Yes.
Golfers are a superstitious lot.
Yes, they are.
Some of them are tenacious.
Yes.
And I, you know, Kevin Hayashi, we were talking about him before the break, is one of those tenacious people, shot 71, 74.
Yes.
He's won here many times.
No.
He's never won here.
No.
See, that's the point.
let me tell you the story about Kevin.
Good.
You know, Kevin is a great guy. He's a good friend of ours. We've always hoped that he would win here because this is the only major tournament in Hawaii that he hasn't won. Well, Casey used to harass him about, Kevin, you're not invited to the champion's dinner because you haven't been a champion.
Casey, you're such a cologne.
They have this thing going. But anyway, we decided to put into place a senior championship. And Kevin finally won a senior championship. And so he got invited to the champions dinner, finally, two years ago. And he hasn't come.
Oh, no. Well, it's that thing, what is it, the Big Island, and
yes.
You've got to fly over.
Well,
right?
He had a baby 2 years ago.
Oh, and then there's that.
Yes,
so there's a two-year-old running around the house. I'm just trying to pull up here, because, you know, if you don't know Kevin Hayashi's credentials, I mean, he's won just about everything a couple of times.
Yes.
As a PGA and Hilo, and he's just, I mean, he's won around the States. So I can only imagine how many times he's won the Pearl Open and just been terrific at doing that. Wes Wailahua is coming up, and I wanted to talk with Wes, but I'd like to talk with you about how did the joining up with the PGA, the Aloha Section PGA, how did that work out for the Mid-Pacific Country Club?
I'll tell you a story about that.
Yeah.
Wesley used to work at the club. His parents were members here.
How old was he when he started?
I think 14.
Something very young,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he used to be a card boy. His grandfather, I believe, was a charter member of the club.
Okay.
But his father passed away when I think he was 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, we started meeting up at this Thursday evening practice facility, practice your golf swing at Olamana.
Oh.
And
with Casey.
Well,
no.
Casey can't teach me. I'm too hard. But Wesley grew up in Waimanalo also. Yeah.
Okay.
And so he took a liking to me. I don't know why. And he calls me his Hanai father.
Okay, cool.
And slowly he became an assistant pro here at the, I mean, got into the pro shop as an employee. And over the years, he then worked for an aviation company. And finally, one year, when Hal was Hal Okita was ASPGA executive director. He was retiring, and I was talking to Kevin Hayashi and Lance Takeda, and they were on the board at the time. And Wesley was applying for the position of ASPGA executive director, and they asked me what I thought, and I told them I think he'd make a great executive director of the SPGA, and that he's young, yes, but I think he'd work really hard and do a good job doing it. They gave him a chance. He became executive director of the ASPGA. But he's been always involved with the Open, because when he was here, he helped me with it, and when he quit the Mid-Pacific Pro Shop, he still helped me with the Open. A few, I guess it's been, 6 years? I'm not real sure. But we're talking, and I wanted to see whether we could get the PGA involved, or ASPGA involved in the tournament. And so today, or back then, he decided to make it an official ASPGA event with Mid-Pacific Country Club.
Aloha Section PGA sanctioned kind of event, yes.
I think we're the only tournament that they sanction that way.
Other than the Hawaii State Open.
Yeah, they run that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
But yes, that's the story.
That's it.
Yeah.
So that's fantastic, because Wes Wailahua, just like Mark Souza, Mark Souza started here, I think, picking up balls on the range.
Yes.
When he was a kid.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then worked his way into the pro shop.
Yes.
And 60-some years later, he's still here.
Yes. yes. Well, Wesley used to pick up balls also.
Oh,
yeah. And he used to be a cart boy.
Yes.
And that's when I first met him.
It's wonderful. And now he's walking into the room.
Oh, good.
And we're talking about his history. We're talking about growing up here and being in the cart barn and picking up golf balls on the range, kind of doing all these things. talking about you, Wes, because we wanted to talk about the Aloha Section PGA sanctioning the Mid-Pac Open and becoming a part of that and what that meant to the Mid-Pacific Country Club and the Mid-Pac Open.
Well,
so, welcome into the clubhouse.
Aloha, Danielle. Always good to be with you on a Saturday morning.
We
and
had
more importantly, I'm in Hawaii this time.
Yes,
you,
this man has put like something like 50,000 miles on his in a month.
Yes, I know that. You know how I know that?
How?
We're supposed to have dinner every Thursday night. My wife and I and Serena and Wes. And he's been canceling on me. I'm so upset about that because I can't have dinner with him.
Every Thursday.
Well, yeah, Michael and Gail are like my Hanai. They are my Hanai parents.
Yes.
They've been good to me. So,
yes.
You know, I think when you look at the history of this tournament and all the players that have participated in it, it only seems right to partner with the club and have the PGA of America and the Aloha section participate in helping manage the event. I think there's a certain brand standard that we bring to it to help elevate both brands, the club.
PGA of America, yes.
And more importantly, I think when you look at all of our tournaments in the state of Hawaii, the Mid-Pacific Open certainly as a privately funded event, that's the last four-day event for professionals and amateurs, certainly is one that I think we need to continue to support and protect to ensure that competitive players have opportunities to stay in Hawaii and earn money. When you look at the field, I mean, you have quite a few professionals that play and win this event, and that money stays here.
Yes.
And it goes into their junior programs and everything else to help support everything that they do to grow the game of golf. And a lot of those are PGA professionals that are playing. So I think partnering with this event and bringing that standard of, as far as tournaments to make it tour-like, where the conditions are there for players to experience, I think makes it exceptional. To be a part of.
It does, and it's really important right now that I do this to take care of everybody. KPUA Hilo, K-O-R-L-Y-N-I, K-O-N-I, Lanai City, K-T-O-H, Kalaheo. So, you know, when we talk about PGA professionals, most of the times we come in contact with them when they're working, teaching, doing all that stuff that they love to do. But part of their artistic need that drives them to become PGA professionals is their love of the game.
Absolutely.
And the love of the game includes the competitive part of them. And a lot of them need to have that to flourish just in general. And creating this tournament and keeping it this four-day event, the fact that your membership, Mike Kawaharada, co-chair of the Mid-Pac Open, the membership here at the Mid-Pacific Country Club is, you know, giving up this their course, like you said, from Wednesday through Sunday.
Yes.
You know, that's a huge benefit for the people to come out, the 200 who have signed up. I imagine some of the membership is also playing, right?
Yes, yes, there are members that are playing.
Yeah.
And we do
about 20 of them.
Yeah. We give them a break.
Yeah.
A discount.
They get a discount?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, okay. You know, there's a swag bag.
Yes.
Does everybody get a swag bag?
Absolutely. This is Hawaii. We love giving things away for free, you know.
Yeah, people enter things just so they can get the swag bag to see find what's inside there.
But, you know, inside the swag bag, they've got their commemorative, since it's their 60th year, they've got their hat, their towels, and everything else. This year with the Pro-Am, we've given out a number of commemorative items, our commemorative ball marker, limited edition putter covers, everything that kind of combined together. So it was actually a great opportunity to promote the club and promote the PGA.
It's fantastic. I can't believe who's walking in the clubhouse. I mean, right now we have Parker McLaughlin just walked in. I'm so jazzed to see you. I feel so honored that you're coming in before your round is. I mean, look at you at the top up there. We're looking at the leaderboard.
I got lucky the first couple days.
I love how you say that. I got lucky.
And I got these young guys that I got to contend with.
Yeah.
They're looking at me. I'm starting to get gray hairs, and every six-footer I got to make for par gives another gray hair. So I got to get pretty lucky the next couple days to beat these guys.
Well, they're going to give you a run for their money. That kid at the top there, he's the one that was over at the Honolulu Country Club, and he lost his partner for a four-ball for a USJ event. He had to play by himself and shot a 63 and got himself in on his own. without a partner.
I could see that, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
He's
so
good. He's got a lot of confidence.
He's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then that Sam guy, he's been around for a while.
He has, yeah. He plays over in Asia mainly, and he's never really, I guess, made it on the web.com or, you know, pursued it on in the mainland. So he's been on Asia, and he's played pretty well
like
over there.
Like David Vigie did.
Yeah.
He stuck with the Asia side.
Right.
Yeah.
It's been interesting, and then it's a good route for young guys to go and play in Asia and get some experience. And I don't think the competition there is quite the same as it is on the web.com tour, but it's a good learning ground, and you can get world ranking points, and it's a good way to further your career
and work your way up that ladder to get into the next round. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Into the next level. With you, though, I mean, I saw you on Golf Channel. You were co-hosting. It was so much fun to see you on television. Did you enjoy that?
I did. You know, it was fun because it was like right when the red light went on, it was like, you know, you had to be on your game and you could not mess up. Just like how we're doing today, but I was more like in your seat trying to,
yeah,
know, host it, right?
Yeah.
And not being the one that's getting interviewed. So it was a different feeling. The whole production side of it is really interesting. I mean, you know, you're there at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning getting ready, and it was an interesting side of the business that I had never seen before, and it was fun to experience it for a week. I think I'd be better, like, if I were to ever do that again, I'd be better, you know, walking on course, announcing. I think that would be a little bit easier to do versus sitting there trying to fill 3 hours of space.
Yes.
You know, you just wear out, like, well, who's the best driver of the golf ball in the game? And it's like, how many times can we talk about this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, okay, well, obviously it's everybody's got their own opinion, but it's like, It just, you just keep running in circles and circles and circles, and you just keep making things up, and it's just sort of like, you know.
Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Why
are we
filling time?
It's kind of a show that should be maybe an hour long,
yeah.
And they make it 3 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I understand.
Yeah.
I understand.
But it's an interesting thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's called stretch.
Stretch, yeah. Stretch to the next break, right?
So what are you doing? We get to see you in Hawaii, and then where do you go? Where's your base now?
So still living in Arizona, but, you know, I've been fortunate. I've gotten into a web.com event in Panama this year and made the cut, and then that got me in the reshuffle on that tour, and then got into, I Monday qualified into Riviera, which was fun, and, I was playing, like, two groups in front of Tiger, which was, you know, chaos, and was close. I missed the cut there by a couple, and then got into Punta Cana, which was another event on the PGA Tour,
yeah.
And I made the cut there,
yeah.
So that kind of bumped me up in my sort of category, and I'll be able to get into five or six more PGA events the rest of the year.
Right on.
Yeah.
That is so cool. The whole keeping up for the fan to keep up with the reshuffle and the point system and what's going on and how it's, you know, it's not easy.
It's hard for me to figure it out, too, yeah.
I bet. You know, what do I have to do so that I can get into the reshuffle and get a good position so that I can guarantee myself to have those next five events,
yeah,
that I can plan and play. Will you play every, I mean, of course.
Well, yeah, whichever ones I get into. So my priority is way down, right? So, you know, there's the top 125 guys, and then there's another category. I think my category is number 36 out of 39 categories. So I'm towards the bottom, but the better I play, the more I can sort of move up that list. So whichever tournaments are sort of least popular, that will go deeper into the categories, and then I will be able to get into that tournament, and if I play well, hopefully that will move me up in my category, and then I'll get into more events.
Fabulous. And the way that works is, like, let's say the Texas Valero Open, for instance, isn't considered one of the super popular events because it comes after the Masters, and the guys are scheduling themselves into other events, so this event would be one that some of the guys that are in a position to hope that the top players aren't going to play,
mm-hmm,
that they can get a position,
right,
into them.
So for the Valero, I was out by 20. So
okay.
20 more guys had pulled out of the tournament than I'm
you're
in. Right.
Yeah.
So the next one that looks good for me is Byron Nelson, which is middle of May,
so
right after the Players' Championship.
So we're pulling for you to get those,
yeah,
those guys, hey, just don't play that
That's
weekend.
That's right. So if I get the goal for me is to try to get in the top 200 of the FedEx Cup point.
Yes.
That's the goal. Because then if you're 126 to 200, you get to play in the sort of final four events on the web.com playoffs.
Yes.
And they give out 25 PGA Tour cards.
And
full
that's what we want
there.
You. We want you to get that full card. Right.
We're trying to take some confidence from this week and move it forward
and
for the rest of the year. Yeah.
You know, the folks here at Mid-Pacific Country Club, they make this wonderful book that I have, and it's kind of a recap of the photos from last year. And I was able to take pictures of the book that when Parker won a couple years ago and send it to him, just the pictures, because he hadn't seen the shots of him jumping into the pool.
I wasn't able to play last year, so thank you for sending those.
Yeah, well, it was awesome. I think that was a great jump.
I looked quite goofy jumping in there, but it was fun to get wet, and hopefully I can maybe take that plunge again this year.
Yeah, I hope so, too. No, Corey, we've been talking about weather. Were you here when it dumped?
No, I got here on Tuesday.
Oh,
yeah.
So when they were trying desperately to put the course back together again.
Yeah, okay. I saw pictures and was following the storm online and stuff. So amazing what they've done. This golf course is quite resilient, and all the work that went into it is amazing. All the staff here.
They rebuilt the
Jason
bunker.
All
of them.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And the bunkers are playing amazing. And even the fairways, you look at them and you're like, man, I can't believe how much water they've taken, and they're still starting to get firmness back to them. And they haven't had barely any mud balls all week. So it's been really amazing. And the rough's up too. So that's kind of fun for us short and straight hitters.
The rough's up, so that's fun.
No, it's good. A lot of times this place doesn't have rough, and it doesn't really penalize you for missing the fairway. So I know the rounds might go a little longer, and there might be a few more lost balls, but from a championship competitor perspective, I think it separates, you know,
the guys who are long and straight
versus the guys who are
recovering.
Yes,
right. You know, I just thought of Tiger Woods. Okay, here's a guy who's, you know, got length, and people talk, well, he's never straight, but then he never was straight. He always would recover from some crazy place that he ended up in. And you said it was crazy playing with him, around him, I should say. Is it the number of people? Is it the energy that's being pulled forward?
Yeah, it's the energy and the number of people, and just he is you know, people always say, oh, Tiger moves the needle. It's like no, Tiger is the needle. Like there's nobody in golf like him. There's nobody in sports like him. You know, I mean, you put him ahead of the Serena Williams. You put him ahead of the Roger Federers, the LeBron James. I mean, Tiger Woods has single-handedly moved professional golf as a viewing sport from 3 million viewers on a weekend to 6 or 7 or 8 million viewers on a weekend when he plays. So he single-handedly, you know, is a huge success for golf, for professional golf moving forward. There's nobody else in sports that's like him.
And I think of the people who say, well, Tiger finishes with whatever he's doing, and then the entire gallery moves.
Yeah.
And then you're left, if you're the player, it's like you almost naturally, as a human being, follow the herd.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a part of you that's almost like, well, am I supposed to move too? Wait a minute, I haven't played my ball yet.
Right. I'm trying to get, you know, 10,000 people to stand still and be quiet when they don't care about your shot. They just wanted to see Tiger's shot.
Exactly.
It's really hard, yeah.
That is. That's the tough part.
Yeah.
So what time is your tee time?
Maybe 20 minutes, 30 what? Minutes. I got to go warm up probably. 8:13, yeah.
I was starting to worry about you.
I got
to
go stretch these old bones out. Thanks for having me, Danielle.
If you start saying that, Parker McLaughlin, that those are old bones, I got some serious problems.
Well, I'm playing against... I'm playing against 20 somethings, and I'm
yeah, okay.
almost 40. Wes,
yeah,
you and
almost
I,
40.
Come on, man.
Parker and I played together at Punahou. I
should shut up and
Anna
let you
be,
two talk.
Anna would be both
would
of
be
us.
Both of us. She was so good, that girl.
From the same tees, because there was no Title IX back then. We all played from the white tees as one team. So it was good fun, a lot of good memories.
You know, there's something about that girls that would love to have that back, where they'd be able to just play against the guys because they know that they are good. And if you challenge yourself against someone who's even better than you are or has supposedly more strength, you do. You know what I'm saying?
I think, you know, I even think Anna would probably, even if there was two separate teams back then, she would have wanted to play
from the back
with us because she was that good. And I think she was one of the trailblazers to, you know, she was finishing top 10, 15 in the state championships from the same tees.
Anna
Umemura.
Yeah,
she was amazing.
Yeah, where is she now?
She's an amateur now, and she's playing pro-am golf
I heard she just won the Army Invitational or something like that.
I think one of the guys that you're going to go warm up against just walked into the room. I've never met him before, but I'd like him to sit down at the table.
All right, I'll check out. Thank you, guys.
All right, good luck, Parker.
Parker McLaughlin, thank you so much for being on the show. It's always a pleasure. Right on. Okay. I had a chance to talk with you about you considerably, and I was going to take a break, but we don't have time. So, Nani, just hang on there with us, and thank you so much for being so patient and trying to work it so that there's not all this background noise in changing mics. But we just had the pleasure of having a young man just sit down next to us at the table here in the clubhouse for the 60th Mid-Pac Open. His name is Brent Grant. And welcome into the clubhouse. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And so I saw your name, and I'm like, I don't remember what. And it was all of a sudden when I started Googling, I saw you the Golf Digest article about you single-handedly going into this shot of 63 at the Honolulu Country Club when you were supposed to be a team.
Yeah. So... Yeah, that was that was a few years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was interesting day. No.
Yeah, right.
That was an interesting experience. Yeah, definitely. Shooting 63, and unfortunately I didn't get to go to Olympic Club that year, but that was definitely a cool little week or so to see my name all over the place. And
absolutely. Yeah. Well, the person that you were going to be teamed with had to withdraw because
he had to work.
Right.
Yeah.
And then after that, you know, the person you brought to be your substitute wasn't. It was too late for
correct.
You to get the substitute in. And then they said, "Well, fine, you get to play by yourself." Probably thinking that you know you're not going to come anywhere close, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So, and then you did, and there you are, and you were able to do it. And that's why the Golf Digest article said, you know, talk about carrying your team, you know. you carried the golfer.
Yeah, definitely.
It was a great article.
Yeah, no, it was a good time.
Yeah, and you qualified for the U.S. Amateur. BYU is where you played?
I played a semester there, I believe back in 16 was the last time I was there. Yeah,
you know how everybody says,
while.
Where did you play? What high school did you go
exactly.
to?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
right?
So I just tell them Waterloo High School. And
Waterloo High School.
Yeah, exactly.
That's me.
Yep.
And the 108th Manoa Cup. Brent Grant won the Manoa Cup, and that's all match play.
Yes, ma'am.
So you really worked yourself up and down those mountains.
Yeah, that was an interesting week. You know, obviously, I think that was my fourth Manoa Cup in a row, but it was raining real hard for the first 4 or 5 days, and my caddy and I were struggling, to say the least.
Yeah.
And then when the sun came out on Thursday and Friday, it kind of helped things a little bit. But yeah, it was definitely a long week.
Yeah,
sure.
Jason Amoy is sitting down. He's the superintendent of golf here at Mid Pacific Country Club. This is your leader. And he's the guy who cut the greens last night, double cut them this morning, and then rolled them. So
who let out the secret?
The faster the better.
Is that what, now, see, a lot of people would look at this golf course and say, okay, versus Wahoo Country Club is so hilly and difficult, you know, but this course is a par 72 course.
Yep.
It's a challenge for you. Why, as a player?
I think it's very unassuming. So you would think, looking at the scorecard and the short numbers, right, it's one of the shorter courses that professionals play for sure. But the moment you get down the ground level and the rough's knee high and the greens are running away from you, it's tough to stop the ball. And if the ball just keeps rolling off the green, the scores get higher and higher. So it's
if
definitely different.
If you can't stop the ball,
yeah,
your scores are going to,
yep,
get high.
Yeah, exactly.
So how do you prepare for this? Do you change your ball?
Some people do, but I don't. I just make sure that I take a few extra seconds, maybe a couple extra breaths, and understand that it's not about flying it to the yardage. It's about making sure you play the release, and there's not really many golf courses on the island that are like that with regards to as fast as these are,
yes,
the greens are anyways.
Yes.
I mean, unless you're playing Wailea all the time, obviously. But, yeah, that's pretty much it. Just, I guess the key thing would be patience.
Patience is everything.
Yeah,
and
so,
a little more defense than offense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Take what it gives you.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, I should probably let you get to your tee time because you're coming up. Do you go and warm up? And
I do, yeah. So I got here at just before 7, ate breakfast, and just kind of cruised into it. Obviously, I had no idea you guys were up here, but it's no problem at all.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
No, that's... I usually don't warm up for that long, so it's all good.
That's good. Brent Grant, thank you so much for being on the show.
Appreciate
it's a pleasure
it.
Talking, and may you hit the sweet
thank
spot every
much.
Time. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, Jason Amoy is the superintendent of golf. He was at Mamala Bay, then he was at Wailea Country Club, now at Mid-Pacific Country Club for how many years?
This is 16 years now.
You know, I've been doing this show here for 20 years.
And this is the first time you met him.
Is this the guy?
No. Oh, Mike Kawaharada just is off and gone. He's leaving us. You know, I really want to thank you, Mike, for being with me, for that, you know, talking to me about all the things that Jason got in trouble doing and Wes, I'm causing problems here. And Mark Souza's with us.
Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning, Mark.
So, how are you?
I'm good. So Jason just came in, and you and Jason, actually, were the three of you walking the course? Was it Wes, you, and Jason walking the course?
Well, Jason and I were, he had me roll the greens since I'm the heaviest person on property. I just had to walk across them a couple times.
Only when we need a little extra speed.
A little extra, you know, la weight. You know.
Okay, let's get back to zero. How do you roll the greens?
We have machines that are designed for that.
Thank you. But it doesn't take a man of muscular strength to roll.
It does take a man of significant stature as myself. Because in Samoa, this all is a sign of prosperity, you know?
In ancient Hawaiian times, that's
yeah, absolutely. And since we are on Kamehameha land,
yes,
and Jason and I are both alumni of Kamehameha schools, we feel it's quite appropriate.
It's appropriate for you to roll the
absolutely,
greens.
Yeah.
Okay, well, good, now that we've got that established. But what were you guys looking for on the course, Jason?
Between Wes and I, we're just going over some of the areas that could be of question as a matter of play for the day and, I guess, you know, for the tournament in general.
So, out of a different place, a hazard, a place where it would be considered ground under repair or something like that?
Yeah, kind of play conditions as it would affect play for the day especially.
Okay. And Mark, you've done rules for so long here. Are you helping out with rules too this year?
Not this year. I'm just kind of watching the play and keeping an eye on the driving range to make sure they don't hit it too far while people are teeing off on the second tee. We hold back the people hitting drivers that hit it long so they don't bother the players on the second tee.
That hasn't even occurred to me because obviously, I don't get in trouble in that way. But when you've got professional players on the driving range, it would easily be a factor.
Yes,
yeah.
Right. So, and we don't want to bother the players out there. Even if the ball hits close to the second tee, it bothers them with the impact. So, kind of keep an eye on things like that on the driving range.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I need to talk to you, Jason, about the work that you and your crew did to make this course and make this tournament happen.
Yes, it was a lot of work.
It was a lot of work. You need to expand on that.
What he means is we were both crying Saturday morning.
Yeah, right when we got past the depression. I was watching the radar Friday night, as I assume a lot of people were, and just looking at what was showing up, and as far as thunderstorms were concerned, going over this area of the island, I already knew what was going on. And my assistant was here first thing Saturday morning, and he sent me this text, and it said, "Call me when you're awake."
Call me when you're awake, like you were sleeping, right?
This was like at 6:38, I believe, Saturday morning. And I was already awake. I couldn't sleep, I think, that night. But I called him up, and I told him, you hope to never get that kind of a message on your phone. And came in Saturday, and the course was a wreck. Every bunker washed out, filled with water. I mean, washed out to mud.
That's what I was afraid.
Yeah, debris everywhere, broken limbs everywhere. And you immediately have to start prioritizing, okay, what do we need to do? First and foremost, we have 4 days. That's not a lot of time.
And there were trees down. It was debris strewn everywhere.
Everywhere.
Were you all just walking around picking stuff up?
That's how it started.
Yeah.
And then as they started picking stuff up, we quickly realized that we didn't have a place to put all of this rubbish. And so we had to kind of revamp our plan and come up with a better strategy to kind of organize what we were doing to make sure that we could actually handle the rubbish that was coming off the course.
So many times when you look at a hurricane or a community that's devastated, and you don't think about where do you put the trash?
Mm-hmm.
And then you see mountains and mountains of it later in pictures when people talking about, hey, it's been 6 weeks, you can take my trash away?
Yeah.
There's no one to take the trash away. We didn't have that situation, but where do you put the trash on a golf course that's going to be completely utilized? What did you do?
Well, the other part of it is that we only had 4 days, and so we had to think of the most efficient way to utilize the hands that we had and the time that we had. And so what we ended up doing was simply making piles out there because we couldn't get out there to carry the stuff out anyway. And so we made piles. And we created a space in the back of our shop. It was a limited space, but we ended up chipping the rubbish a couple days later when we could get the chipper out there and
yes.
bring in chips rather than big pieces that take up a whole lot less space. And that ended up working really well for us.
Wow. And now we've got, I've got to tell you, folks, it's really the clouds are not happening over this beautiful golf course. Mid-Pacific Country Club, it's in Lanikai. When you come around the bend, you're flying along the beautiful coast, and then you'd come around the bend, and then you make your first right as you come up. Is it Alapapa? And then you make a right turn, and then you're just coming up the street, and that there's the guy. You can park in the golf course parking lot because you're going to be a spectator, and it doesn't cost you anything, and you'll see some of the best golf being played on Oahu. We've run out of time. I mean, I'm just blown away. thank you so much, Mark, for being here, and I really appreciate it. Jason, thank you so much for coming up here. I know it was short. I didn't expect Parker to come, and I certainly didn't expect Brent Grant because he's at the top of the leaderboard, and that was like, I hope you understand.
No, it's always a pleasure to come and see you.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure talking with you. And I've got, a minute and a half. That's forever, but I have to thank the people who make this show possible. Wes Wailuhua, thank you for being here and for all you do for the golf game. Okay, the Golf Club is made possible by the great people at Futurestone, Creative Plumbing, and Rainer Doors. Creative Plumbing. Whether you are a building, whether a shopping center, it doesn't matter whether you're a small custom home or a townhouse, you're a new build, a renovation, or a repair. You just call Creative Plumbing. It's got to be done right. So call Creative Plumbing. Futurastone. They're master craftsmen. Turn your building, a warehouse. I'm telling you, they take concrete and polish it and make it look like marble. You can turn it into any color you want. It's beautiful. Futurastone, natural stones. They specialize in Brazilian quartzite, flagstone, aquapave, on-site stormwater source control systems. It's Futurastone, only the best. And Rainer Doors, they have the best protection for your home. They protect the Lamborghini showroom, so provide lasting security and safety for your business and for your home. That's Rainer Doors. Increase the value of your home. Just give them a call. It's 647-2056. Thank you for your mama. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2018.